Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
And welcome back to the program. So glad to have you along with us on this Friday evening. Well, there was a I don't know if it was a scuffle, if it was a kerfuffle, or if it was a Donnybrook, potentially in the State House the other night. And let's just kind of run down a little bit of what happened. They voted on this rules package, right? And this, I'm reading, getting this from Fitz News. They voted on this rules package. And after the vote, Brandon Guffey, who is the communications person for the Republican caucus there in Columbia, he was taking a picture of the vote board. Again, this is being reported by Fitz News. So Brandon Guffey was doing something that has been considered bad form by the Republican caucus. You see, I guess they can take pictures of the vote board, but they, members of the Freedom Caucus, can't take pictures of the vote board because that violates their rules. So anyway, apparently, allegedly, Brandon Guffey was taking a picture of the vote board. He was then Josiah Magnuson reportedly said, "I know what you're doing. You're trying to make it look like we're voting with the Democrats." Okay. Well, at that point, allegedly, Guffey lost his temper. And for that and the rest of the story, we need to go to Josiah Magnuson, who is joining us right now. Josiah, welcome to the program. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you, Charlie. Always appreciate being able to be with you and shedding some light on these issues. Appreciate it.
So is the story correct so far?
I think what you've just been describing is accurate.
Okay. So then,
you know, Brandon,
it was,
I think
then,
some context is important.
Well, hold on. We'll get to the context in just a second. So then allegedly, Brandon told you to keep his name out of your mouth or else he would kick your ass, depending on who you ask. And then apparently, allegedly, Guffey lunged or bowed up at you. That's when Thomas Beach kind of stepped in. Somebody pushed him aside. Any of that actually happen?
Well, a little bit of it. So, yes, he did. Brandon did appear to threaten me, and he did have some choice words. Fitz said that he had to be restrained. Now, that I'm not sure. So I turned my back at that moment, but I was not aware that he had to be restrained or that he was coming at me. He did get up in his seat kind of and like make as if he was going to come at me, but I don't think that he came towards me any further. So
that's when it was reported that Todd Rutherford had actually tried to restrain him, according to Fitz again. So you didn't see any of that happening behind you.
I don't think that he actually tried to attack me. That I think that piece of it is a little sensational.
Okay.
So that's why I wanted to come on and say, you know, I think Brandon, I think he used some choice words. I think he may have been a little bit on edge. I know he's going through a tough time.
Sure.
And so I think any of us would be, if we were going through the things that he was going through with his son and all of that. But no, I don't believe that he tried to lash out at me or become violent in some way.
Physically attack you. But did he threaten to kick your ass?
I did not hear those words.
Okay.
What I heard was that he said, get my name out of your mouth or we're going to have trouble.
Okay.
And then he said that we might have to go outside. So there's, a veiled threat there.
Yeah.
But I said, well, the sergeant of arms is back there, and I'll make sure and let him know if something's going to happen, basically. But so, yes, there was a little bit of a kerfluffle, but I just want to make sure that Brandon, though he's not my political friend,
yeah,
I don't want him to be tagged with more than what actually happened.
Okay. Well, that is very big of you, very magnanimous of you. But we all know, we've heard the story about what's going on with his son and the person that ultimately was responsible for what happened to his son. Josiah, we're sitting here and we're looking at all of this stuff going on in Colombia. What levels will these people go to keep the power that they have and to keep anybody else from possibly even getting any power, more power than they have now?
Well, exactly right, Charlie. And I think the bigger story from Wednesday is that, the establishment in Colombia is trying to consolidate their power once again. This rules package takes off essentially the only safety valve that we have that we had in order to actually bring conservative bills to the floor if they're being blocked by House leadership.
Yeah.
And, it's been a top-down process. Everybody knows that. Everybody in Colombia knows that. But now it's even worse. And there was no public testimony on this change. They didn't allow questions in the committee meeting. And they're trying to make it as if this is about more public testimony, more public input. Well, it's just ludicrous that they would try to act like, well, we want more public testimony when they're blocking the bills that the people actually want. They're blocking the legislators who are putting certain bills forward that the people want. And then on the rules change itself, they railroaded it through and they didn't even allow public testimony on that rules change. So that to me is the big story here, that once again, we see the political power structure in Colombia just pushing through an attempt to silence conservative legislators.
We talked with Drew McKissick yesterday, and he was, of course, talking about the closing the primaries. Is that bill that they have pre-filed, is that going to do it? Is that enough?
It's not enough, Charlie. So I will say that I'm glad that we're getting some traction on this issue of closing the primaries.
Right.
But because the bill only allows for unaffiliated voters still to vote, in Republican or Democrat primaries. That means if you're a Democrat voting in a Republican primary today, you just go on like you have been. You can still keep voting in the Republican primary under the bill that Drew McKissick is pushing. So I don't think that it's the solution.
So you would have to actually declare for a political party, either, unaffiliated, I guess that would include independent, right?
It would. I would rather to make it to where you have to register by party first in order to vote in the Republican primary. And then I'd like for it to be really that you're locked in at least for one legislative, one election cycle. Whereas my understanding is with this bill, you can kind of switch back and forth. So
whenever you want.
I think that we need some safeguards.
Yeah, absolutely. Josiah Magnuson, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Thank you. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Charlie. Yes, appreciate all you do.
Take care. All right, we'll be right back. It's the Charlie James Show, News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas. Let's go to the PhD Weight Loss Talk Line, 800-950-989. We'll talk to Tommy in Greenwood about my conversation with Josiah Magnuson. Tommy, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. What's up, buddy?
So the one guy that's taking a picture of the board, which way the people voted, I don't see anything wrong with that because that should be public record anyway.
Okay. Well, let me explain that. All right. So you've got Josiah Magnuson. He's a member of the Freedom Caucus, right? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Whenever there is a rule under the Republican caucus that you cannot take a picture of the vote board. All right. And the Freedom Caucus members have been doing this regularly because they're like, we're not listening to your rules about this. Well, Brandon Guffey is a member of the Republican caucus. So he took the picture of the vote board because Brandon Guffey, according to Josiah Magnuson, was trying to make it look like the Freedom Caucus folks were siding with the Democrats. So I don't no. Listen, I agree with you. I think every vote board should have a picture taken of it. Absolutely. 100%, Tommy. But in this case, they were telling the Freedom Caucus, you can't take a picture of the vote board. But then when they thought it would make the Freedom Caucus look bad, they took the picture of the vote board. So that's how that worked out, Tommy. I appreciate it. Again, the PhD Weight Loss Talk Line, 800-950-989. Let's go to Matt in Rock Hill. Up, oh, wrong line. There we go. Matt, are you going to primary Lindsey Graham?
I don't think I should. I don't think I would get enough votes for that. Okay. But I think I know someone who could.
Okay. All right. Let's have it.
All right. I've met the gentleman several times. He goes to our church on occasion. He lives close by the church, and we're kind of neighbors with him. Ralph Norman, congressman, U.S. congressman from, I think it's District 5 up here.
Yeah. Now.
He's not a young man anymore, but I don't know if he has any interest in it at all. But I can tell you that he's a very impressive congressman. Yeah. He's good friends with President Trump. He's a self-made man, which is just the kind of guy you want to have in the Congress of the United States.
Yeah.
Because he can't be bought and sold.
You're right about that.
People.
Yeah, you're right about that. And Matt, interestingly enough, on this show just a couple of weeks ago, Ralph Norman actually expressed interest in running for Senate.
Is that right? I was unaware of that, but yes, he did. I'll tell you what, you guys that are in the know and have some power and strings you can pull, I hope you get behind Ralph Norman. He's a great, great guy.
Well, very smart.
He's got a great Southern drawl, Southern gentleman drawl.
Yes.
I think he's very impressive.
I am very impressed with Congressman Ralph Norman. I appreciate it, Matt. Thank you so much. But he's going to have to make that decision because when we spoke to Ralph Norman, just like I said, time is flying. Week before last, he said he was interested because people were talking about, you got a primary Ralph Norman. He's like, all right, go ahead. Fine. And then I asked him what his future looks like. And he said that he was either, and he said this on this program, he was thinking about running for governor of South Carolina, but he was also thinking about running for the Senate. Now, we don't know whose seat he was looking at. We don't know if it was Lindsey Graham's seat. We don't know if it was Tim Scott's seat. But Ralph Norman did express interest on this show at running for the Senate. Well, another one bites the dust, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't long ago that we heard that Jim Acosta, just a horrible individual, horrible human being, anti-Trumper, not a journalist at all, covered up for Joe Biden, covered up for Biden's mental decline, covered up for everything that the Democrats have ever done. CNN decided since their ratings and his ratings were so low and he was so wildly unpopular that they were going to put Jim Acosta over on the midnight slot, which, if you know anything about cable news, the midnight slot is basically being exiled to Siberia. That's where they send you when you've still got a contract, but nobody's watching. Well, that's what happened to Jim Acosta. So Jim Acosta came out and he said, you know what? I quit. I'm done with this. I'm going to go on to do my own thing. So now he's over on Substack. Whatever. Fine. Nobody's going to care that Jim Acosta's over on Substack. Well, another one has bit the dust, ladies and gentlemen. Chuck Todd has left NBC News. Let's take just a little bit of a walk down memory lane with old Chuck Todd.
Instead of Roger Stone and WikiLeaks, it's Rudy Giuliani and some computer guy in Delaware. So this didn't work. So he'll try another planted story or another, Russian use some other, you know, discredited Russian propaganda. And for those of you spreading misinformation, shame on you. Shame on you.
Yeah.
I don't know how some of you sleep at night.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're not going to sleep at night because you are now unemployed, Chuck Todd. So he was there talking about Russian disinformation and Trump using Russian disinformation. And then the next breath, he's like, you're spreading misinformation. I don't have a problem with seeing these, but they're all, the rats are leaving. The rats are leaving. And it's glorious to watch. Let's talk to Jim in Rock Hill. Jim, what do you think about Ralph Norman running for Senate?
I really like the idea, but I did want to make a correction on the previous caller. Ralph, he comes from a long line of money from his relatives, so he's not really a self-made man. I just want to make that correction.
Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about Ralph's family or anything like that, but I do think he would be a pretty darn good senator. I mean, he would be an upgrade from what we have now, right?
Yes, sir. I agree.
Yeah, 100%. So, Jim, I appreciate you calling in. Again, I don't know anything about Ralph Norman's family or money or anything like that. I just know he's been a great representative for the state of South Carolina and the people of the upstate. Again, the PhD Weight Loss Talk Line, 800-905-0989. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is exactly the same number. We had somebody call in trying to send a text. All you got to do is put us in your contacts. Once you bring up WORD, it'll give you the option of whether or not to give us a phone call or to give us a text. You choose which one you want to do, and bada boom, bada bing, we are on the way. When we get back, we're going to be talking with Representative Lee Gilreath about all of the things that are happening or have happened down in Columbia this week. I'm going to be talking about that a lot tonight. It's the Charlie James Show, News Talk 98.9 WRD, the voice of the Carolinas. And welcome back to the program. So glad to you joined us on this Friday afternoon. I hope you got a big weekend planned. I know that I do not. I kind of like my weekends quiet. and hopefully this one will be that way, too. Well, Representative Jasmine Crockett has made a pretty amazing comment out there. During her district swearing-in ceremony for the 119th Congress, this happened on Tuesday, Representative Jasmine Crockett said that 80%, she said, all right, let's take a listen. Here's Jasmine Crockett at her swearing-in ceremony.
Y'all. It's getting real. It's been 8 days. 8 days, y'all. Eight. And we were only in for three of them. It's been 8 days. And honestly, I don't know how else to describe this other than evil. It's evil that is literally sitting in the highest seat in the world. The idea that Head Start does not know whether or not they will have their funding, the idea that the Medicaid websites have gone down and gone dark.
No. See, but she went on to say, and this was amazing, Representative Jasmine Crockett said that 80% of extreme crimes were committed by white supremacists, 80% of them. Seems to me like we've had a real spate of extreme crimes that did not include anything about white supremacy. Doesn't it you? I mean, presidential assassination attempts, things like that. Things like that. In fact, Jasmine Crockett is so full of it. And she literally is the dumbest member of Congress. I mean, I think there's a lot of people out, and that's a high bar to attain when you're just that absolutely ignorant. I don't know how the woman gets elected. I really don't. 80% of extreme crimes are caused by white supremacists? No. But did you know this? we've got some other crimes out there. And we're talking about some serious crimes, and they are not being committed by white supremacists. They're being committed by members of the trans community. And they are happening at more and more they're happening. Trans terror is a thing, ladies and gentlemen. Trans terror is a thing. They're calling themselves Transtifa. Transtifa. On Inauguration Day, we got the news, a U.S. Border Patrol agent had been shot dead at the Canadian border. This is from the Post-Millennial. The Canadian border in Vermont, in an incident involving a now-deceased foreign national that was overshadowed by the coverage of Donald Trump's events at the Capitol. 1 week later, a 21-year-old Washington woman was charged over a deadly incident, but that hasn't been reported on either. About her and her deceased accomplice, who is a German man. The Post-Millennial can now report that the mysterious duo who were pulled over in Coventry, Vermont, in the deadly shootout, are leftist trans militants with alleged ties to a trans terror cell. Around a week before the January 20th attack, federal law enforcement had been surveilling a German man, Felix Ophelia Bockholt, and a Seattle woman, Teresa Milo Consuelo Youngblut, after staff at Lindenville, Vermont motel reported seeing them with black tactical clothing, weapons, and protective militia-style equipment. When law enforcement contacted them, they claimed to be looking to purchase property in the area. They promptly checked out of the hotel on January the 14th. Bockholt was a biological male who identified as trans and used feminine pronouns. He was an award-winning youth math genius and later graduated from the University of Waterloo in Ontario, Canada. German media reports that he comes from the Freiburg area. This person is part of a trans terrorist organization. While receiving inpatient medical treatment at Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center in New Hampshire, Youngblut was charged with one count of using a deadly weapon while assaulting a Border Patrol agent and one count of using and discharging a firearm during an assault. But they're out there. These people are dangerous. They really are. And they, like I said, they're calling themselves Transtifa. According to Andy Ngo, there appears to be a trans terror cell in the U.S. involved in serial killings. The Vermont Border Patrol, U.S. Border Patrol officer shot dead on Inauguration Day was the fourth known victim. The fourth one. Not the first or the second or the third. After the shooting, a bomb squad investigated Bockholtz and Youngblut's Toyota Prius. Of course it's a Toyota Prius. Investigators found two pistols, ammunition clips, night vision goggles, two full face respirators, a ballistic helmet, 48 rounds of hollow point, shooting range targets, interstate lodging information, and two-way radios and a dozen electronic devices, some which were wrapped in foil. U.S. Border Patrol agent David Maland, an Air Force veteran, was shot and killed. Firearms and a cache of ammunition were found by law enforcement in their car. Law enforcement, again, also found the tactical equipment and, like I said, dozens of electronic devices. I'm telling you, these people, this trans community, some of them are unbelievably dangerous, and they are carrying out acts of violence. So when Representative Jasmine Crockett says that 80% of extreme crimes are committed by white supremacists, well, she is a big fat liar. 100%. What we are seeing is the violence of the left. And we always say the left is the most racist group in America. The folks on the left are the most violent group in America. You remember the summer of love. Remember that? With the buildings on fire. Despite the building burning behind me, this is a mostly peaceful protest. Oh, okay. We saw what happened at the Capitol Heights Autonomous Zone. We know what happened. These people are dangerous. and they need to be looked into. Let's go to Chuck in Mills River. Chuck, how are you?
Any better, and I'd be on the Charlie Jang Show on a Friday afternoon.
Boom! Man. There you are. What's going on, man?
Ta-da! Well, it's rainy up here. Thank God to help with the fires over in Black Mountain. But
right.
I don't want to touch that last story you're talking about. It's Friday. I'm trying to be in a good mood.
Yeah.
But I did want to you brought up the scuffle with Kerfuffle and Donnybrook. I would not have you ignorant of the manly arts of pugilistic endeavors.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you the difference.
Okay.
Get it right. I have them in order.
Okay.
A kerfuffle is when one individual bows up.
Okay.
A kerfluffle, as Mr. Magnuson brought up, is when two people bow up, and there might be some language involved.
Right.
A scuffle is when both people cuss and some pushing and shoving.
Yeah.
But now in a Donnybrook, a haymaker must be thrown and landed. Okay, and it's better if it's both people, because nothing like a can of whoop ass to make a man's day.
Yeah, you're right about
then,
that.
Then that goes into a brawl, which is like in baseball when the bench is cleared. So everybody gets in on a brawl. So there you have it. So next time, just so you'll know, and I wouldn't have you ignorant of this.
I will use the right vernacular, thing. Chuck. I absolutely will. I appreciate you calling in. We'll be right back, and we'll be talking with one of our state representatives, a member of the Freedom Caucus, Lee Gilruth. He's going to be joining us next. It's the Charlie James Show. News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas. Lots going on in the State House last week. Joining us right now is Representative Lee Gilruth. And to keep us updated on what's going on, Representative, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, James. Appreciate you having me on.
So I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you. So tell us, I mean, we all know about the rules package change and all of that. What is the feeling right now among members of the Freedom Caucus about what's going on in Columbia?
Well, of course, we couldn't defend it any better, but it's a numbers thing. We really need more people to step up who are conservatives and be a part of this fight so that we absolutely have the numbers on our side. Just according to this, one thing, because the Democrats did sign on, you know, they were fighting it as well because their voice was getting taken, as well as the Freedom Caucus. So, with that being said, if we would have had eight more people on our side, less eight on their side, you know, we could have overruled this.
Yeah, that would have been the best thing, because it was one of the last voices that the people had, right?
Yes, sir. And, you know, I ran on this campaign I'm a freshman, just to let you know, but I ran on a platform of transparency to my constituents and accountability. And, you know, this is just one tool out of a tool belt that they took from us. I think part of it was politically motivated. It was kind of a setup, but, you know, again, it's something that needs to be in there, and it hadn't been used a lot, but you know,
but it was there.
We don't have a lot of votes either.
Right. It was there if it was needed. So, I mean, when we see people like Merle Smith, giving Democrats and Republicans the same amount of amendments on the floor, when we see them appointing Democrats to committee chairmanships. I mean, what is going on in Columbia? Why have things gone so off the rails?
I know, James. It just blows my mind. We have the supermajority in the House, and you know, you and I guess I was too complacent too long too. I just always thought that, you know, we're a red state. Well, we're not a red state.
Right.
We're a purple state. And when you do things like that, I mean, we've got our top leadership in the Freedom Caucus put on 3M. I know they'll do great on 3M.
Yeah.
But they could apply themselves in different areas, ways and means, judiciary, and be so much more productive and helpful to the state of South Carolina. But, you know, they won't give us those roles. Just like this rule change they did. It's to shut us up.
It is
to show us the power that they have.
It is to shut you up, and it is to flex their muscle there in the state house. Does it disappoint you that some of the younger members, I guess like yourself, The freshman did not join the Freedom Caucus and decided to go along with, I don't know, the in crowd.
The establishment.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it what it is.
Yeah, the establishment, right. Yeah, them, those folks.
It does. And clearly, I just really, to their defense, I don't really think they, all of them, understand what rights they're giving up. When you sign that loyalty pledge that we had, you know, back at the beginning of session, it just takes all of your transparency away from your constituencies.
Sure.
And yeah, with that being said, I just honestly don't think that they completely realize. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff thrown at us in a vast hurry. A lot of people say it's drinking out of a fire hose and of information, and it really is. So I hate they've taken that route. And like I said, if we can get promote more people throughout the state to join in arms with us in this fight, it would sure help the state.
You're exactly right. But what gets me is because all of these new young members that came in, I know they've been in politics for a long time. I know they've been either in politics or around politics or interested in politics, whether it's the state or county parties. And then they go in and automatically they sign a loyalty oath. I just don't get it. Well, hopefully things will change. Representative Lee Gilruth, we appreciate you joining us this afternoon. Thank you.
Charlie, thank you for the time.
Thank you. Take care. So, yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, and I'll admit it, and I'll name names here. I was absolutely brokenhearted when I found out that Luke Rankin was joining with the Republican caucus. I really was. It kicked me in the gut that this young man would align himself with people like that. People that will send out flyers. Now, part of me understands because, I mean, if you want a career in politics, then you got to go with those guys. I mean, I don't, you know, part of me doesn't blame them. Listen, you want to do a career in politics? Those are the guys you got to go with. Because they are cutthroat. If you want a short career in politics, then go against those guys. But there comes a time when you're going to have some political courage and stand up against the crowd like that. And ask the questions like, what is so wrong with taking a picture of the vote board and publishing it on social media? I mean, after all, that's the people's board. Those votes belong to the people. What's so wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, it should be mandatory. That picture should be voted, posted after every single vote. Because I don't know if you guys have ever gone on the South Carolina State House website and tried to find out how somebody voted. It is practically impossible. Because it's not updated in a timely manner. You got to have some degree in computer wizardry to get in there and find out how people voted. We need to know now. We need to know right now. We need to know when it happened. But no. Unbelievable. When we get back, we'll talk with South Carolina Representative April Cromer about what's going on in the State House. It's the Charlie James Show, News Talk 98.9 WRD, the voice of the Carolinas.